Did anybody were you able to go back and finish it? Yeah, I didn't think so. You put your own spin on it. You weren't even asleep. You just faked it out. And, you know, we all have different kinds of dreams, different kinds of sleep habits. One of my children used to freak me out. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about. You know, you ever been dead asleep and then you just get this feeling that somebody's watching you? Like the boogeyman or something? And I always sleep on my left side. That's a normal side for me to sleep on, right? Left side. That I always face. Myrna's always wants to be away from the door. She wants me to be the first one to be attacked if someone comes in. And so you're laying there and you're dead asleep and you go, something doesn't feel right. And you don't want to open up your eyes. And you open up your eyes and one of your kids is like right there. Scared the living daylights out of you. You know, we all have dreams, we all have desires and things, and we kind of live in this hyped up world, if you will. Everything's got to be bigger, better, awesome, unbelievable. Why do you think we have, what do you call it when you go to McDonald's? Do they still supersize stuff? Oh, okay. Was it McDonald's that used to do that, supersize it? Okay. Well, anyway, now you just buy the big one all the time, and they don't even have a small one, but... you know, everything's got to be better and greater. You know, how many of you have your iPhone 7? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. You know, you couldn't hardly wait to get out there and get the iPhone 7. And I just bought a new phone not too long ago. And the guy says, hey, if you wait just a few more weeks, the next one's coming out. And I said, no, I'll just take this one. And then, you know, once I bought that one, it's like, why couldn't I have waited two more weeks? I could have got the bigger and the better, the newer, the faster, whatever might be the case. It's new and improved. I don't know how you continue to improve on stuff like that. And even when you turn on the television, I'm just super impressed. This last week, I did my best to watch as many daytime talk shows as I could. How boring is that? You know, if it's not Ellen or Oprah or Brother Jakes is on TV now, you know, I mean, pretty soon I just kind of feel left out. Let's just not go there. But one of the guys on one of the ESPN talk shows, I think it's called, I wrote it down, Mike and Mike in the Morning. I don't know if any of you ever do that. But every day he starts it out like this without fail. He says, I'm back and I'm better than ever. Really? Every single day you come back better than ever? We know that's just a bunch of baloney. And so here's the culture which we live. And in this culture, stand with me now. In this culture, I said, stand with me now. In this culture, you're like, you have to stop. In this culture, Jesus brings us a word in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. It's on the screen. I want to read it to you. Careful, you're going to miss the whole text. Are you ready? Here it goes. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Heavenly Father, this is your word, not ours. This is a message that you have for us. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand it in a deeper and greater way than we ever have. We ask, Lord, you bless the word now as we move into it. And Lord, change us, we pray. And well, there's some of us, Lord, that maybe we need to particularly hear today. But Father, we know there's something in there for all of us. So we're listening. This is your word. This is the living word of God. In thy name, amen. You may be seated. So in this second beatitude, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Like the first beatitude that we dealt with last week. Jesus, as I said last week, when you read the Beatitudes, sometimes you just kind of go, Jesus, I just think you have it wrong. I think you have it backwards, especially compared to what our culture and our tells us, our day tells us. Anybody, you know, let's just take a poll. Now, a poll means you have to answer. Okay, so here it is. How many of you will come and sign up immediately after the service to mourn? Nobody wants to mourn? See, that's why we think that maybe Jesus has got this whole thing backwards. I don't want to mourn. I want to be happy. And yet, here Jesus kind of turns this thing on its head, so to speak. He says, happy or blessed are those who mourn. And let me give you a couple observations about this thing of mourning. Mourning comes into our life in different ways, and we're going to kind of break it specifically into two. But when you lose what you want, you know, the scripture tells us, this is that backwards thing, when you lose what you want, you gain what you need. So often we want or we expect out of life. What we want, what we expect out of life doesn't happen. How many of you, your last week happened exactly as you expected it to? I mean, it just went right down the road. Yeah, it doesn't happen that way. We might even have some good desires that aren't necessarily outside of God's will or God's plan, but when they don't come to pass, it just kind of leads us to, oh my goodness, and we kind of get into this, I don't know, a mourning and kind of an attitudes. Sometimes, though, it gets a little more difficult than just that. This morning, I was talking with someone, and they just informed me of a little child that is, I think, was, how old, Jeremy? 18 months, diagnosed with cancer this week. Not only that, but I might have the story a little wrong, but they took the child in for treatment, and they gave the baby the wrong treatment. It cost the baby its life. You lose health. You lose that loved one. You lose that special friend. You lose maybe your job. Those things aren't minor, are they? Those kind of get us right where we are. But can I tell you something? That even in those kinds of mourning that come into our life, God is in the middle of it. He is right there. I hear it all the time when we find out situations or we hear these things and people say, where is God in this? I can just tell you, He's right there. He's right there. I mean, God can still show up, and He still shows up in the middle of those things that give us those hard times of mourning. Usually, what we need in circumstances like that is presence, and that presence of God just becomes more real in my times of need. When I've hit those low points of my life, that's when I need the presence of God the most. And He's always there. Now, what does the enemy wants to do? He wants to take those difficult times. He wants to take those hard things that come. And he wants to use those, if you will, if we allow him to harm us. He'll take them and he'll begin to use them to distract us. Or cause us to weep. God, though, says, I can use that to teach you. I can use it to sharpen you. I can give you lasting joy because we've learned what? To rely on Him. When we come to the end of ourselves, we find God, even in these times. What happens when my dreams don't exactly work out the way that I thought they should? Can I just tell you that sometimes when those dreams don't happen like we think they should, that allows us to gain God's insight, God's vision, if you will. When our ideas don't quite work out in life, they don't happen the way that we had always dreamt that they would. It can wreck us. It can just cause difficulty. But sometimes in that space between our expectation and reality in our life, God shows up to give us a new vision, if you will, a new insight for what He wants in our life. We'll find in time, if we're really willing to trust God, even in the difficult times, is that God wants to give us a vision in the future that far better than anything we could have imagined or had in mind for ourselves. It can produce mourning when life takes away our, our dreams, can't it? But if we can find a way to just trust God, Father knows what? Best. He can turn that mourning into joy. This is so backwards, isn't it? It is so backwards to what real life seems to be. In order for us to respond to what Jesus means here in this beatitude, we need to understand three things about mourning. Mourning is inevitable. Everybody said amen. Mourning is inevitable. Mourning is spiritual. But here's a great one. We're not going to cut to the end yet. But mourning is temporary. Okay? So let's keep it all in focus. So the first thing is that mourning is inevitable in our lives. Welcome to the human race. Nobody likes this experience of mourning, but sooner or later, every one of us, and we will continue as long as we're alive to pass through these times. But by Jesus declaring this blessing on those that mourn, what is he saying? He's indicating that the grief is a normal part of our existence. Doesn't that make you feel wonderful this morning? You can go home and say, Pastor told us in church that grief is just a part of life. Praise God. Can I just tell you, grief is universal. It doesn't pick and choose. It makes no distinction between race, creed, color, or whatever. Grief touches the young, the old, the rich, the not so rich. Men, women, boys, girls. None of us are exempt. Everybody grieves because everybody at some point experiences some kind of loss in their life. But there's a kind of Christianity, if you will, that's out there today that gives the impression that faith in Christ exempts us from all kinds of suffering. When I was sharing with our guest this last Thursday, do you know what it's like to stand in front of a room full of people who are filled with hopelessness and tell them that God is there? I find balance in music. I love music. I'm going to give you... Where's Brother Joel? Is he still in church? He leave. Oh, down there he is. Good. Thanks for leading in worship today, Brother Joel. What a wonderful time we had. I love that one song that I had no idea what we were singing. I just love that. I mean, I know it's a brand new one. It was only written in the 1800s, but I loved it. I love music because it helps give us expression. Hey, if you're here on the 16th of October, all the ladies will be at retreat. Those that are going, but it's going to be an all-male worship team, and we're going to have a little bit of fun up here. But I find music so relaxing. I came across this old song that my dad used to sing. Now, you have to understand, my dad, he used to love to sing in church. And what's better is he thought he could really sing good. And I guess he could. I mean, for an Okie, he was just a pretty good singer. You know? Yeah, I used to give him a hard time about it until he cut a CD. I have no royalties coming to me. I just want you to know that. But I was running across this old song, and I could see my dad singing it in front of the church, and it went something like this. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, hear it, lovingly, it's part of pain or pleasure, mingling toil, peace, and rest. The notion that mourning is not inevitable, folks, is just not true. We're surrounded by the social gospel of the day, which says, believe in Jesus. He wants you to be rich and happy and everything to go right in your life. You will not find that in Scripture. But I find Jesus' words maybe even more perplexing, blessed are those who mourn. What in the world are you talking about, Jesus? At many memorial services and funeral services that I've done, I've used the term, O death, where is thy sting? And you know what? I wonder if out in the crowd, there's not a few people that are sitting there saying, well, Pastor, just about everywhere since you asked. Oh, death, where's your sting? It seems to be just about everywhere today. The tragedies of this last week and another shooting in elementary school. It's everywhere. Who of us can say I've not felt it in my life? And which one of us would be willing to say that sharp pain that we felt was a blessing? But I think if we look a little deeper in the words that Jesus was saying here, blessed are those who mourn, for what they will be comforted. Here's what comes clear to me as I've read the Beatitudes I don't know how many times. But something brand new became very, very clear to me that hasn't been so clear in the past, and that is the blessing is not in the mourning. But the blessing is in something else. Are those who mourn blessed because they enjoy the mourning? Is that what Jesus is saying? No. God blesses those who mourn. Why? For what? They will be comforted. There's the blessing. They will be comforted. Just like the first beatitude. The blessing doesn't come because I'm poor. The blessing doesn't in spirit. The blessing doesn't come because I'm experiencing mourning. But it's in the consequence that comes out of it. The blessing that comes with mourning is the blessing that I will be comforted. In a book, it's entitled Stories for the Journey. The writer, William Wright, he tells a story about a seminary professor his name was Hans, and his wife passed away, and he was so overcome with sorrow and grief that he lost his appetite. He didn't want to even leave his home. And so they got a little bit concerned for Hans, the seminary president, and a couple of his three others of his colleagues. They went to the grieving professor and they began to talk to him and to his friends. That professor just kind of confessed his struggling with doubt. And he said, I'm no longer able to pray. You ever felt that way? He said, I'm no longer able to pray anymore. And after a moment of silence, the seminary professor or president said to him, then we will believe for you. We will believe for you. We will pray for you. So the four men, the president and three of his colleagues, met every single day to pray for Hans. Praying that God would restore the gift of faith to their friend. And after several months, the story goes that the four gathered for prayer with Hans on a day. And on that day, Hans smiled and said, it's no longer necessary for you to pray with me. Today, I would like to pray with you. No longer needed for you to pray for me, but I want to pray with you. Comfort is either something we give others or something we receive from someone else. Comfort isn't something we do for ourselves. And Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted by me. It's especially true of another kind of mourning. We've kind of talked about mourning the things that happen in our life, and they're so very, very real. And if you're here this morning and you're mourning the loss of someone's close or special, in whatever way that loss has come to you, I want you to know that God is here, and God's message to you this morning is, blessed are you that mourn, for you will be comforted. There's another kind of mourning that I think Jesus was getting to the root of, and it's what we would call spiritual mourning. Jesus promises a blessing to those who spiritually mourn. And while, you know, a loss of a loved one or a friend is not the only cause to mourn, we also grieve over those who we are even alive. The mourning is that response. The mourning Jesus is talking about is that response to the sin in our lives and in our world around us. The first kind of mourning we've talked about this morning is from the outside. Now I want to talk to you about the mourning that comes from the inside. It comes from within. The sinfulness that kind of just wreaks havoc on us, on those we love, on the world around us. Throughout Scripture, there's a connection between mourning over sin and receiving God's blessing. You go back to the children of Israel. They often mourned together, often many times. They mourned together as a nation, and what had happened? They would mourn together, and then they would receive God's blessing. They would receive His forgiveness. And then there's an example that we're all very, very, very familiar with. His name is David. King David. David, if you remember, he wasn't at war where the king should be. And then he saw Bathsheba and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And from there, he committed murder against her husband. In time, the magnitude of his sin came crashing down on King David. And he was completely distressed. He was completely, if you will, undone. He mourned, it says, from the depths of his soul. In Psalm 32, I have a few scriptures I want to give you here, kind of broken up in a few verses. But in Psalm 32, he talks about the period of time before he took on mourning. On the surface, he actually kind of appears happy. Look at it in the first couple of verses here of 32, Psalm. It says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty." Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting how David ended that second verse? Whose lives are lived in complete honesty. You see, on the surface, it looked as if things appeared okay. But can I tell you this morning, denial just kind of puts on a positive face. That positive smile. But deep down in our soul, at the soul level of our life, it's different. You see, even though David could say those words, he was missing out on life-changing, faith-altering blessing from God. Today, we tend to kind of tweak that word, sin. Amen? It's not popular at all. In fact, when you look up the most popular sermons currently, you will not find sin listed. And we like to substitute. What are some things we substitute? Mistakes. Oops. I like that one. You know? Or in some other word that kind of just takes a little bit of the edge off of it. You know what I'm saying? Because what? Sin's just kind of old-fashioned, preachy kind of stuff. It kind of just, it's doing this. Don't you like it in the church when the pastor gets up and does that? Kind of shakes his finger at you. Hey, you know what? That's my personal life and that's my business, not yours. So we talk about oopses or I messed up, I slipped up. I made an unfortunate choice. But they don't really fit, do they? I need a helper today. Anybody want to help? Anybody feel like helping today? You're afraid of what I'm going to do to you up here. I know, but you trust me, right? You love me, right? All right, Roger, come on up. Because you don't have to talk. You know, this is free. Keep Roger in prayer. He's got a little procedure they're going to do to help clear his throat. Yeah, it's bright up here. Yeah, now you know what I deal with. And so will you keep him in prayer this week? Okay, good. Good. Now, I'm sorry. I just, you big old fat foot there, dude. I missed it. Okay. Now see that. I mean, he could honestly, if he didn't know I was putting on, he could say, well, that's a mistake. You ever had your foot stepped on anywhere? Yeah. But if I did this and intentionally stomped on his foot, what would he say? Ow. Not cool. He would say, Pastor, I'll forgive you on the first time. The second one, I'm going to knock you down. So you don't do it to me again. Thanks, man. You see, sometimes we look at this idea and I don't know, we talk about the slip-ups and that whole thing, but I don't know, it's kind of like, oh, man, it's my bad. I didn't mean to step on your foot. But if I intentionally stomp on his foot, that's completely different here, folks. If I intentionally cause pain in his left foot, it changes it. And it's not a mistake. Can I just tell you that? If I accidentally step on his foot, it's one thing. But if I stomp on it, it's not a mistake, folks. If you choose to go against what you know to be the law of God, it is not a mistake. It is sin. All right? Oh, there's another word I came up with. Disease. Interesting. It kind of brings a whole new no fault, kind of like no fault insurance. Kind of brings that no fault idea into there. It's like, well, I know I shouldn't have taken what didn't belong with me, but I just have this problem. I just have this illness. I just have this addiction. No, you've chosen sin. Guys, listen, can I just tell you something? We can take sin out of the Webster dictionary. Okay? We can just obliterate the term sin out of our dictionary. My thought, if only we could wipe it out of our hearts. As a culture, we try to erase and change the definition, but the condition is still the same and it's not going anywhere. Why? Because sin, it cracks the whip on us like we're slaves. And here it is, folks. If we fail to acknowledge the reality of sin, there is not going to be any mourning in our life. And without mourning, there's no confession. You got that? If we fail to acknowledge the reality of sin, then there's no mourning. If there's no mourning, there's no confession. And without confession, we miss out on the rich blessing to be comforted by God. Without seeing the depths of sin, well, we're never going to understand how high His love and grace is in our life. David goes on in the next verses there. He said, when I refused to confess my sin. Okay, now we're changing. He was all joyful. Now we're changing. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. And the next verse says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And oh, here it is, folks. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Bless the Lord. Denial seems like a good idea at the time, but it's the path of least resistance. And believe me, you don't want to go down that road. Have you ever faced the blessing of facing up to your sin? Have you ever just had that in your life? I know I have. It's amazingly liberating. You know, to just stand in the mirror or wherever you need to stand and look at yourself and say, you are a sinner. Let's be honest. You're not living. You're making choices. You are choosing to go against God. Can I just tell you, that's very liberating. There's no way to get that blessing that Jesus talks about in our scripture this morning without mourning that has to come before it. Dave is a good, pretty good poet. And he goes on. It says that David, he told us about his sin, about his confession, about the wonderfulness of God's forgiveness and the righteousness. He kind of punctuates the whole thing when he says, "So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, and all you who obey him shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure." It's time for the party. That's what we're saying. The prodigals come home. The weary road was left behind him. The traveled road at the end, he's singing. He's rejoicing. So what if we tried that? What if we tried this morning? Wow, it's really quiet in here. What if I faced my sin in my life? What if I willingly faced the sin in my life? What if I spent some time just meditating and listening to God and praying and grieving over the sin in my life? Let me tell you what would happen. It'll change you. It'll change you. See why? Because you're going to see things from a different perspective. You're going to see things from God's perspective. In fact, when it says we confess and we repent, what are we doing? We're seeing things from God's perspective. The inside out is happening. But you can't do this. You can't do this without the mourning. James puts it this way. In James chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, come close to God, and God will come close to you. You ever remember that old bumper sticker? Was it years ago? God seems far away. Guess who moved? That's kind of what James is saying here. Come close to God and he will come close to you. You know the only time I don't want to come close to God? It's when I know there's sin in my life. Come close to God. He'll come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Are you hearing? Are you seeing the mourning? I'm mourning the sin in my life. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Oh, I like it. And he will lift you up in honor. Changes the whole thing. Now, I don't know about you, but this stuff doesn't come naturally for me. This idea of repentance and mourning doesn't come naturally to me. I want to borrow a few questions from Kyle this morning. I want to ask you some questions this morning. Are you ready? You ask them, please don't answer out loud. First question, have I sinned in the last few days? Now understand, have we been clear today? Sin is what? Sin is an intentional, a choice to go against God's will. Sin is not my humanness. Sin is not, hey, once in a while we have a bad day. Anybody had a bad day this week? Did you act like a Jesus person the whole time? Or did the Spirit kind of go, okay, that's God. He's working with me. I'm human still. Last night, we had 3 dogs at my house. Can I just tell you that by 2:30 in the morning, it was real close to being just one? I was so irritated at 2:30. And can I express myself to one of the dogs? And they just looked at me, smiled, wagged their tail, and barked again. And this is going to sound really crazy. And I just went, I laid back down. I go, you know what, devil, you're just trying to mess with me. Because you know in a few hours I'm going to be up. And I've got to go stand in front of a church. And you know what? Lord, I just need you to help my attitude right now. Hey, I'm human. Can I just tell? Oh, you knew that, didn't you? Okay, good. I was worried. Sin is when I willfully go against what I know to be right. It's when I choose. You don't fall into sin. You don't trip into sin. You don't back into sin. You choose to sin. All right, now that we've got that clear, have I sinned in the last few days? Who else has been hurt by my sin? Here's a wild one. Outside of confessing to God, is there someone I need to apologize to? Now here's the last question. Have I come up with some excuses and justifications in answering the previous questions? All right. Here's my closing thought. You thought I forgot about this one. Mourning is temporary if I choose to follow Him. Mourning is temporary. It's inevitable, but it can be temporary. Jesus makes the promise to us here, folks, that those who mourn over their sin, blessed are those who mourn, He says, for they will, not they might, or they could be, or possibly might be, He says, they will be comforted. When we come to Jesus and we say, God, I've sinned, I've hurt You, I've messed up in my life, and I need Your help right now, God gives us comfort right there. I was speaking to our friends on Thursday. I said, too often we have the image that God is walking around with a baseball bat. He's just waiting for you to mess up. And that's exactly who you see God as. God says, no. If you confess your sin, I'm going to comfort you. There's only one person that will bring discomfort, and that's the enemy of our soul. How does God grant this blessing of comfort? Well, first of all, in His Word. John 1:9 says what? I just said it a few minutes ago. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great comfort? But Pastor, you don't understand how many times I failed God. I'm sorry. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that. It says if we come with a pure heart, and we confess ourselves, God is more willing to forgive than we really understand. So He uses His Word, and He uses other people. Okay? He uses other people. You know what? There's some of the comfort God's given you, guess what He wants you to do? He wants you to use it to comfort somebody else. Did you know that? And then finally, He uses His Holy Spirit to comfort us as we mourn over our sin. In John chapter 14, verse 26, the word comfort there, can I just tell you, it's the same word that is used as a title or a description of the Holy Spirit in our life. See, He's our comforter. He's our counselor. One part of the Holy Spirit's ministry into our lives on a daily basis is to bring comfort, to bring assurance that we've been forgiven. Romans 8:15 said, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His children. Amen. But here it is. The healing will only go as deep as the repentance. The healing will only go as deep as the repentance in our lives. We need sorrow, folks. Without sorrow, there's very little gratitude, and without gratitude, there's very little love. Blessed are those who mourn for their own sin, because it brings them closer to God. You see, mourning is, it's appropriate. It's an appropriate response to sin. And it's the only response to sin that leaves all kinds of room for God. When we come face to face with our failures and we mourn, then God's grace has room to operate. Because why? Because pride is taken out of the picture. As long as we're self-sufficient, we can't be dependent on God. When we lose, if you will, what we want, when it seems that our dreams are shattered, then we come face to face with who we really are. God can show up in that place and bring forgiveness and His strength into our life. When you read the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus, you'll always find He's always responsive to those who are aware of their sin and their brokenness. He will in no way turn you out. So what dreams seem to be disrupted or broken this morning in your life? Is it hurt and pain that comes with just those realities of life we talked about first, because we live in this broken world? Can I just tell you, God wants to comfort you. Or is it that hurt that comes from that broken relationship with God? Can I tell you, God wants to comfort you as well. Hear the words that Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Bow your heads with us. Father, we come to you this morning. And for the next few moments, Lord, we just kind of want to reflect on what you've shown to us today. Holy Spirit, will you speak to us right now? Will you speak to us, Lord, as we, maybe there are some that, maybe they're mourning loss today. Just that stuff that happens in our broken world that we wish didn't have to happen, that we wish didn't happen. And Lord, they just need you to put your arms of love around them and comfort them. Father, there might be those that are here today. And if they're really honest with themselves, that they would have to admit that there is some sin of choice that has come into my life and separated that fellowship that I have had with God. Or I pray, Lord, that you would help them to know that this scripture is just as true for them. That your desire is that they be comforted today. They be comforted by the fact that you're a God that forgives and sets right, oh God. And they don't have to carry that sin. They don't have to carry that guilt out of this building with them. They can leave it at the foot of the cross this morning. So Lord, speak to us, we pray. We're waiting on you, God. With your heads bowed, listen to the message of this little chorus song. It just says, I need you more. Let God speak to you this morning. The altars are open if you'd like to come pray. Need you more. Yesterday I need you more.
More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the breath I beat, more than time goes by, I'll be by your side. to my own life. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever before, I need you more. I need you more.
Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing that together. Again, if you would like a place of prayer, say, Pastor, do we have to come to the altar to pray? That's kind of way far down there and kind of awkward. I get that. But as we sing this song, if that's your prayer this morning, you want to lift your hand, you need God to do something in your life, you want to lift your hand, you want to bow your head, can I just tell you that God is right here, right next to you? And He's willing to do more than you can ever ask or imagine in your life. Let's sing that together, shall we?
I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever. I need you more. I need you more. More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than the next heartbeat. More than anything. Ever as time goes by, I'll be by your side. Cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Well, we could all say that, couldn't we? I need you more, Lord. Yesterday, it's not going to be enough. I need you more for the tomorrows. I just want to say thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to pray a blessing on you, and you're going to go out. But church, I want you to go out and be the church. This is the church gathered. The church is no more the church than when it is sent out into the world in which we live. So as you go out today, I'm going to pray that you're going to come across somebody who you can share with concerning mourning in their life. Maybe you can be a comfort and encouragement to them. God bless you. Love you guys much. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. For all that you mean to us, we thank you, God, for the fact that your word speaks to us very clearly. The Lord, it speaks to us where we live. It's our day-to-day stuff, God. And so, Lord, may we take your word, may we hide it in our heart as the psalmist wrote, that we might not sin against you. May we hide it in our heart that we might be able to tell others about the hope that is in our heart through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us to be the church. It's been fun to be the church together. Now, Lord, help us to be the church out in the world in which we live and make a difference. In thy precious name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless.